Chapter 20. Three Talents. A New Crusade. The Crimson Lord. Ishak Kadin was immensely proud of himself, for he did three things in life with a skill few others could match. These three talents had earned him enough coins to rub together, no doubt there, but they'd also elevated him from the depths of poverty that had swallowed his parents, and getting out of those slums was something far out of reach for most of the beggars and street folk in his home city. Three talents. That's all it took. And they weren't even that hard. If he'd needed to practice them, then it might have been a different story. Ishak Kadin was one of those naturally lucky souls that live their lives in the moment. He never spared a thought for getting old, never saved money with any great care, and never worried over much what the enforcer patrol around the next street corner might have to say about his activities. Three talents got him through life, pitching him in and out of trouble. The first was to run, which was a skill he'd honed by putting it to good use in the criminal-infested lower sprawls of Sudacia's primary hive city. The second was to smile, with a vicious blending of charm, smarm, and intimacy, which had variously gotten him into several lines of employment, out of an entirely legal execution that he'd absolutely deserved, and even once into the fine black lace underwear of a countess's younger cousin, the night of the gala held to celebrate her coming of age. The third talent, which was what had gotten him posted to his current situation in the first place, was the fact he could take a wicked Pict when he wanted to. Not a day passed that Ishak didn't think back to the conversation that damned him out here onto the fringes of space. He'd been sitting in an austere office, absently picking dirt from beneath his nails, while a robed hierarch of the Remembrance Order droned on and on about noble goals and the very real need to record the present for future generations to study in excruciating detail.
"It is the greatest honour," the stern gentleman insisted.
"Oh, I know." Ishak started to bite his nails now they were clean. "The greatest."
The older man seemed dubious. Ishak thought he looked like a vulture disapproving of a potential meal, largely because it was still alive.
"Thousands of archivists, sculptors, painters, pictographers, poets, playwrights have been sent. Tens of thousands have been rejected for lacking the thoroughness and flair that the Great Crusade deserves in its remembrances."
Ishak made a non-committal noise to encourage the hierarch to continue, while secretly musing over the number of artistic professions beginning with the letter P. Painters, pictographers, poets, playwrights.
"So you see, to be chosen like this, you have to understand how fortunate you are."
"What about puppeteers?" Ishak asked.
What?
"Nothing. Never mind."
"Yes, well, I'm sure you can appreciate the gravity of the situation."
The hierarch did his vulture sneer again. Ishak smiled back. His eyes brightened. A faint movement of his eyebrows suggested something delightfully wry, and a calculatedly cocksure amount of teeth were on display for a predatory moment. But the hierarch was neither female nor attracted to males, and that disinterest rather disarmed Ishak's best weapon.
"Mr. Kadin," the man said, "are you taking this seriously? Do you wish to be shipped to Mars to end your years as a servitor?"
He really didn't. If it came to a choice between paying for his crimes in the traditional manner or catching a transport ship halfway across the galaxy to serve as a remembrancer, well, it wasn't much of a choice at all. He wasn't going to spend his life lobotomized into penal service. So he assured the remembrancer hierarch that he was taking it very seriously indeed. Over the following 2 hours, he weaved a compelling fiction of interstellar ambition and an exploratory spirit that had suffered in the strangling confines of his birth slums. Now, at last, he would be free to walk the stars, to gaze upon new suns, to chronicle the advance of mankind, to lie through his teeth. Ishak, at 35, was not an educated man, and he was fairly certain at several points he invented new words or mispronounced ones he'd only read before. But it did the trick. 3 days later, his intermittent work as an imagist for almost wealthy hive families and crime scene pictography was behind him, as was Terra itself and the shit-heap hive in which he'd been born. Was it an honour, really? That all depended upon just where you were sent.
In the briefings, Ishak had been hoping against hope for a posting that would actually mean something. While the major expeditionary fleets were already swollen with remembrance of hangers-on, there were still plenty of possible placements in the smaller fleets. He might never get to lay eyes upon the War Master or see his images depict the glory of a Primarch like Fulgrim, but he'd not lost hold of the desperate, panicked hope that he'd be assigned to one of the Emperor's so-called Glory Legions. The Ultramarines, founders of the Perfect Empire. The Dark Angels, commanded by the consummate general. The Word-Bearers, renowned for bringing the Emperor's own wrath against enemy worlds. At last, he'd been assigned. A full sprint through the Order's barracks had ensued, with remembrances shoving past one another to reach the posted listings in the lobby. All dignity was cast aside in the rush, artists, poets, playwrights rioting against each other to see where in the galaxy they were being sent. Someone had even been stabbed during the crush of bodies, perhaps out of jealousy, since that imagist in particular had been assigned to a fleet commanded by the Emperor's children, and such a posting, even among a modest fleet, was worth its weight in gold. There it was. Kadeen, Ishak, imagist, 1301st Expeditionary Fleet. What did that even mean? Were there even Legion forces with that fleet? He'd shouldered a young woman aside to use one of the barracks' information terminals and hammered in his key code with trembling fingers. Yes, yes. Each line sent his heart beating faster. 1301st Expeditionary Fleet, commanded by Fleetmaster Balak Torvus. 3 companies of 17 Legionis Astartes, Word-Bearers, commanded by the Crimson Lord, Master of the Gal Vorbach. Noted citations, honored by the presence of the Emperor's custodian guards, led by Aquilon, Alphas, Nero, Kai, Mathiramus. The name went on and on and on, but it didn't matter. He'd been posted to one of the most aggressive, renowned, largest legions, responsible for more compliances in the last half a century than any other, and a fleet, minor or not, that was honoured to contain some of the Emperor's own golden custodes warriors. The images that could come from this, the fame, the attention. Yes, yes, yes. Who were you posted to? He asked the girl next to him.
The 277th.
Blood Angels?
Raven Guard.
He gave her a pitying smile and headed back to his room, making sure to tell everyone on the way back where he'd been assigned. This only backfired once when a pretentious arse of a sculptor had sneeringly replied,
The Word-Bearers, yes, well, they've conquered much in recent years to make amends for their former flaws, but they're not exactly the sons of Horus, are they?
The flight to join the 1301st Expeditionary Fleet had lasted 19 long, long months, during which Ishak had slept with 28 separate members of the transport ship's crew, been slapped by 3 of them, taken almost 11,000 picts of tedious goings-on aboard the vessel, and passed out from ship-made alcohol more times than he could reliably remember. He'd also lost a tooth in a fistfight with an angry husband, though he still claimed the moral victory in that one. Given all of this and the lifestyle that preceded it, it would be fair, but not entirely accurate, to assume that Ishak Kadeen cared nothing for his work. He didn't consider himself lazy. It was just difficult to find things that inspired him, that was all. The first pict he truly cared about had since done the rounds of the entire 1301st fleet, and it was, in his own inestimable opinion, an absolute beauty. Already it was being hailed as a masterpiece in the fleet's archives, and he'd received a courier-brought note from the Crimson Lord himself, thanking him for the image. When they'd arrived, dropping from a year and a half in the swirling tedium of the warp to approach the battle fleet, Ishak had been unable to resist getting caught up in the moment. With his picta rod in hand, about the size and heft of a cudgel, he'd aimed the eye lens at the view from the porthole, watching and recording the great warships drifting by. And then, there it was, the grey-hulled fortress flagship of Lord Argeltal, silent and serene despite its world-breaking weapons array. De Profundis, Ishak's new home. Awe left his mouth slack as he clicked pict after pict. One of them, one of the very first he took, showed the warship abeam, slaved to a sharp perspective,
a stone and steel bastion of imperial might. Starlight cast raw glares across its dense armour plating, while a statue of the Primarch jutted from the vessel's spine. Lorgar, arms raised to the void, haloed by the system's distant sun. Click, went the pictor, and Ishak Kadeen fell in love with his work. That had been 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks spent waiting for inspiration to strike again. 3 weeks spent waiting for today. The starboard hangar deck was a messy maze of landed gunships, load-bearing vehicles and cargo containers, populated by an army of servitors, tech adepts and human crew going about their business. Thunderhawks were being loaded, their swooping wings weighted down by racks of missiles, while boxes of bolter shell belt feeds were installed by the defensive turrets. All around was the rattle, the clank of heavy machinery, which was doing nothing positive for Ishak's hangover. At the heart of the organized chaos was the eye of the storm, where space had been cleared for the scheduled arrival. Ishak stood at the edge of the cleared zone, just one of many witnesses to the morning's events. A glance to the left revealed a flock of other remembrances. There was Marcin, a painter, scribbling in his sketchpad. Louiana, a skinny and pale little thing who composed entire concerts around various flute arrangements. Helic, who almost definitely owed Ishak some money from the last time they played cards. What did Helic do? Was he a composer as well? Ishak wasn't sure. Whatever his fellow remembrancer did to express himself, he was a piss-poor gambler. The Blessed Lady was here, of course, standing out from her maids and companions in a gown of arterial red that looked more suited to a Terran ballroom than the greasy, oil-blackened deck of a warship. She looked no older than her late 20s, though given how long she'd been with the fleet, rejuvenation surgery must have featured heavily in her recent past. Ishak lost a fair few minutes, just watching her. She was dusky-skinned, not as dark as Ishak himself, but clearly from a desert people, and it was easy to see why she was considered blessed. He'd never seen anyone move with the same slow, effortless grace or smile with such subtle brilliance. Every time she shared a word with one of her entourage, she seemed to be smiling with endearing shyness at some secret joke between them. Ishak decided then and there that he wanted her. For a moment, he was certain she turned to regard him. Wasn't she said to be blind? Was that a facade, a rumour to enhance her mystique? An honour guard from the Imperial Army had deigned to show its face too. White-clad officers of the Yukar 54th stood in neat ranks, their formal wear impressive in its ornate finery. Each of the officers rested a gloved hand on a sabre sheathed at their sides, while their free hands remained nestled in the small of their backs as they stood to attention. In the middle of the front row, Ishak made out the grizzled, half-bionic figure of General Arik Jesmatine. The general had a fearsome reputation on the ship. All the talk passed around the remembrances had old Arik pinned as a tyrant and a taskmaster. They'd only crossed paths once before, in an upper-deck corridor, while the new remembrancer was scouting around for something to inspire him. Jesmatine had been with the fleet for 60 years, and every month of it showed. He walked with a silver cane, and most of the right side of his body hummed and whirred with the bionics beneath the old man's uniform. His beard was kept trimmed close to his haggard face, a fine pelt of white around a scowl like a slit in old leather. "You there," the general had said. "Are you lost?" Well, no, he wasn't lost, but nor was he supposed to be up here on the operations decks. "Yes, yes, I am." "You're a bad liar, son." This offended Ishak a great deal, but he didn't let it show. "Apparently so." "You grin too much. If I had daughters, I'd kill you for ever going near them." "With respect, sir, I'm not in the mood for a character assassination, and I am at least a little lost." "See? Grinning again. You won't charm me with that. Who are you?" "Ishak Kadeen, official remembrancer." He liked the way that felt on the tongue, so he said it as often as he could. "Oh." The old man cleared his throat with a sound like gargling gravel. "You're not a poet by any chance, are you?"
"No, sir. I'm an imagist."
"That's a shame. The Blessed Lady has an ear for poetry. Though it's for the best if you never darken her door, I'm sure."
This was before he knew who the Blessed Lady was,
But that grumble alone was enough to make him vow to darken her door as soon as possible, whoever she might be.
So, you're hunting for Picts to take.
Guilty, Ishak halted the grin before it reached his lips.
As charged.
The old man scratched his neat beard, fingers making scritch, scritch, scritch sounds against what was barely more than stubble.
This is a warship, you know. You can get in a lot of trouble wandering around like this. Go back to the lower decks and wait for the chaplain's arrival like everyone else. You'll get all your Picts then.
Ishak considered that a fair deal, but as he turned to leave, he decided to push his luck a little more.
Sir? What?
The old man was already walking away, cane tapping on the deck.
You don't seem the merciless terror that the Remembrancers have been told to fear.
General Arik smiled, which made the slit in his face even less appealing.
That's only because you're not one of my men, Remembrancer Cadine. Now get off the operations deck, and back to the jury-rigged bar I know you little vermin are already setting up in the shadows of this blessed ship.
It's called the Cellar.
Oh, very apt,
the old man huffed as he walked away. So he'd waited 11 days, and true to both form and the general's appraisal, he'd spent those 11 days in the bar. Now he was here, after hauling his hungover carcass across to the main starboard hangar, waiting with the dregs and top brass alike for the chaplain to arrive.
I thought the Crimson Lord was supposed to be here,
he whispered to Marcin. The other Remembrancer just shrugged, still taking notes and sketching vague figures. The Astartes were here at least, though Ishak took much less pleasure in their presence than he'd expected. 20 of them in all, grey statues in 2 ranks of 10, not a ghost of movement between any of them. Immense bolt pistols were clutched to the word-bearers' chests, while unpowered chainswords were kept at their sides. Scrolls and iconography marked them as warriors from the 37th Assault Company. Ishak kept abreast of deployment chatter. Most of 37th Company were engaged on the world below, waging a compliance war alongside General Arik's Yukar regiments. He snapped several images of the towering, silent Astartes, but his angle was far from perfect, and the edge of frame was ruined by servitors stumbling around in the background. He supposed there should be something glorious and inspiring about the warriors, but he found it hard to swallow if he looked too long in their direction. They weren't inspiring at all, just imposing, distant, cold.
Attention!
The general barked. Ishak conceded to this by standing slightly straighter. The Yukar officers went ramrod straight. The Astartes still didn't move. The gunship came into the hangar on a sedate drift, guidance thrusters gushing pressurized air as it hovered down. Crimson armor plating coated the Thunderhawk in dry scales, while heavy bolter turrets panned left and right. The servitors slaved to the gun systems ever alert to threats. Landing claws kissed the decking. At last, the boarding ramp lowered on squealing hydraulics. Ishak clicked a pict of the gunship's yawning maw. From the hangar's edge, more Astartes entered, 5 warriors clad in armor of a newer, more streamlined design than their grey brethren, painted in scarlet and silver with black helms, staring ahead. The Remembrancers turned as one, whispering and muttering, variously taking Picts, making notes, and sketching what they saw. Gal Vorbak, came the whisper from many mouths. Leading them was a warrior with a black cloak draped over his shoulders, and his legion symbol hidden beneath yellowed parchment scrolls depicting his deeds. He stalked past the gathered Remembrancers, the joints of his Mark IV battle armor humming a smooth hymn. Skulls of slain alien warlords rattled against his dark ceramite as they dangled from iron chains.
There he is,
the whisper started up again.
The Crimson Lord.
The warrior moved to the Blessed Lady's side, whereupon he offered her a slight inclination of his head and spoke the name
Cyrene
with a growl of acknowledgement.
Hello, Argiltal.
She smiled without looking up at him. Her entourage of maids and advisers scattered back with dignified slowness as the Gal Vorbak took their places around their master. Ishak took another Pict, the huge warrior in his snarling black helm, and the petite figure at his side, both surrounded by red-clad Astartes. The figure that descended from the Thunderhawk onto the hangar deck wore armour to match his brother's in the Gal Vorbach, though his trimmings were reinforced bone and bronze, and his helm bore Colchisian runes painted in gold leaf. Chaplain Zafen walked down the gang ramp, briefly embracing Argeltar at the bottom.
"Serini," the chaplain said afterwards.
"Hello, Zafen."
"You look younger."
She blushed and said nothing. Argeltar gestured to the Thunderhawk.
"How are our brothers in the Fourth Legion?"
Zafin's rumbling voice was as vox-ruined as Argeltal's.
"The Iron Warriors are well, but it is good to be back." "I assume there's much to discuss."
"Of course," the chaplain replied.
"Come then, we'll talk while the preparations are made for planetfall."
The warriors walked past, and the orderly gathering began to dissolve into groups heading back to their duties. Just like that, it was over.
"You coming?" Marcin asked Ishak.
Ishak was looking down at his pictor, intensifying the image on the small view screen. It showed the two commanders of the Gal Vorbach side by side, with a blessed lady nearby, her head tilted as she regarded them both with unseeing eyes, a look of adoring beneficence writ upon her lovely features. One of the Astartes carried his black Crozius maul, the ornate weapon slung over his shoulder. The other, the cloaked Crimson Lord, sported deactivated claws of red iron, each oversized power fist ending in four talons, the length of scythe blades. Both suits of armor glinted with shards of yellow jade as they reflected the orange overhead lighting. Both helms had slanted sapphire eye lenses that seemed to stare right into Ishak's viewfinder. "This," he thought to himself, "might be another classic."
"Are you coming?" Marcin repeated.
"What? Oh, yes, sure."